Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are, and should be, proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. Coast Guard vet Mark Northrop will first discuss dealing with the VA. Then Quentin Roberts will review the last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my good friend and the chair of the Frontlines of Freedom Advisory Board, Mark Northrop. Mark spent a lot of time in the Coast Guard and hasn't stopped serving our nation. Among other things, he helps vets deal with the Veterans Administration. So welcome back to the show, Mark.
Denny, a good day to you, sir. A great day to be an American.
It is. And you are a Coastie. Talk to us a little bit about your time in the Coast Guard. Why'd you join?
Well, I grew up in the military family. You know, us baby boomers, Denny, probably over half the men that were our fathers and uncles and grandfathers were veterans. And I think a lot of the baby boomers followed suit. You know, when we were growing up, half the men were veterans. Nowadays, it's, you know, less than 4% and falling. So, I mean, we're clearly a rare minority out there in the population. And I appreciate all the recognition we get in the community. Sometimes I get a little bit uncomfortable with it. I think we all do. But I was honored to serve my country as a Coast Guard officer for 14 years. I had a couple commands, saw a lot of sea duty. And like most veterans, if they knocked on my door, I'd go tomorrow.
Well said, brother. That hits the nail right on the head for most of us. It's been a couple of years since you and I last spoke about VA disability compensation and that kind of thing. Can you sort of sum up our last discussion on this?
Yes, I work for a private attorney filing VA disability claims. You know, veterans, having served, we do take a lot of wear and tear on our bodies. A lot of us come back with some trauma that we deal with through our lifetime. And I have been working with an attorney helping veterans process their disability claims. There's a lot of people out there that will help veterans. There's a lot of service agencies, VFW, Legion. The states have veteran service officers. So there's a lot of support services out there. In fact, it can be a little bit intimidating if you're a veteran knowing who you should talk to or what their skill set is. But I would advise any veteran thinking about filing for a disability to work with a professional that understands the process. By virtue of the fact that I work for an attorney, it's a little different in that we can charge a nominal amount of their back pay. It's not big money for the attorney. A lot of attorneys don't want to mess with it. Fortunately, I work with an attorney that allows for me to represent the firm and do that. But in the last couple of years, there's been some big changes in the VA. The big one is that there's this thing called the PACT Act, which gives veterans that served in the Gulf overseas that were exposed to any kind of burn pits or the well fires in Iraq, the guys in Afghanistan. A lot of guys were downwind from burn pits. And subsequently, there's a realization, like the guys that had Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam, are rated a presumptive disability if they've been exposed to some of those things serving overseas during the Gulf War times.
Okay. So I guess that is an upgrade, since I don't think I was ever involved in that. That's why I didn't know about the PACT Act. Though I'd heard about it, didn't know what it was. So are you seeing more and more veterans taking advantage of it? Because it's my understanding an awful lot of veterans don't know or ever apply for disability.
That is the case, Denny. I think, though, in the last couple of years, there's a realization by veterans and the country as a whole that there needs to be more of an acceptance for veterans to apply for these disability compensation. And it's out there. The country says these men and women are entitled to that. And I think there's an understanding of there's a certain amount of fairness that's involved here. I hear less and less guys saying, well, I'm not deserving. It's for the other guy. You know, we're a rich country. The country says you're entitled. Why wouldn't you go ahead and file? And since the PACT Act in particular, a lot of guys have come to me with pulmonary issues, a lot of issues with their lungs, a lot of skin conditions that they have from the exposure to all the burn pits. And of course, then the other common things we see, just broken bones that have not healed properly, a lot of sinus problems from the inhalation of some of the exposure that they had, a lot of hearing problems. You know, so there's a lot of things that happen to veterans overseas. Unfortunately, I do have veterans show up that just assume that since they're a veteran and they're 60 years old and they have sleep apnea, that that's a VA disability. That's not the case. You have to establish that your condition is somehow service connected. Did you ever complain about it in service and went to sick call? Did you snore when you're in the barracks and the guys complained about it? You know, so there's a lot of conditions out there people have late in life. They just assume it's because they served, but that's often not the case. They have to have that service connection and they have to have a good diagnosis. And that requires some effort on the veteran and who's ever representing him to get that evidence and get what we call a nexus quite often from a private health professional. We're seeing a lot more of the claims for PTSD. I think in previous years, there was a denial about PTSD. I think there's more of an acceptance now that a lot of veterans come home with some trauma that they regress and they don't want to deal with it. And then as they get home, they start to act out some behavior. They have underlying conditions like poor sleep and flattened emotions and some of those things. So I encourage most of my veterans, just go get a mental health evaluation, find out if you're dealing with things. And I think that by finding out, that's part of the healing process that a veteran needs to go through.
Okay. And the people that can help veterans do this all around the country, I guess, or even around the world, they're veteran service officers. Is that the right term?
Yeah, there are licensed veteran service officers, like with the Legion and the DVA and these other agencies. The states have veteran service officers, but typically they're just maybe they're a volunteer or they're just a salaried person. There's a little different when you're working with an attorney, because the attorney is going to make sure that you do the paperwork properly and that it's followed up. I have a lot of guys show up with me that have filed paperwork at the VSO, and then they're denied and they come to me and they don't understand, well, why? I did this paperwork. But it's a lot more dynamic and a lot more involved in that. You got to really understand the bureaucracy, the paperwork, the evidence you got to submit. You have to prove you have service connection. And that doesn't often come easy. It's a burden on the veteran. And I tell the veterans, it's not one and done. I'm not going to guarantee you're ever going to get a disability rating on these things, but you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to own it. And if you expect that VSO that filled out the paperwork is going to own it, he or she isn't. It's on you. And I would always encourage you to find somebody that's done it before and to really coach them through really the intricacies and the details.
You know, I've talked to a few VSOs, and you're right. Some of them are quite knowledgeable, and many of them are, they want to help, but they don't have that much insight.
Yeah.
I guess that's true of everybody in every profession everywhere, but it's certainly I've seen that.
And quite often, you know, lawyers, attorneys are reluctant to take veterans' disability claims, like Social Security. There's not a lot of money in it for an attorney to represent you at the VA. I kind of do this more as a hobby, but as a passion to help my brothers and sisters that have served, knowing the struggles that I went through. I don't want others to go through it if I can help them. So consequently, I'm a wingman to these veterans, and I'm a little harsh on them because I tell them exactly what they got to do and how they got to go get the evidence, how they got to go get the diagnosis. And I tell them there's two things I want to happen here. At the end of this, I want you to be a healthier veteran, but I also want you to get compensation that you're entitled to for some of those things that you're struggling with. You know, the common ones are tinnitus, you know, you have tinnitus, you have ringing in your ears. You know, the PTSD is a very common one we see. We see a lot of guys that with bad ankles and feet from marching and jumping out of planes. A lot of guys have sinus problems from the inhalation of chemicals. So there's a lot of things out there that the veteran needs to consider when they're filing for their claim. Quite often I find out from sitting down with a veteran, they don't even realize they have these conditions. They just learn to accept them. So that's why they need to go get a good physical, get diagnosed, determine whether or not those conditions are service connected. Quite often they are, particularly if you're younger.
Well said. Thank you, Mark. This was really good information, really good insights. And thank you for your service to our nation. I'm glad that we're friends.
If you're a veteran out there and struggling, go find an expert to coach you. Don't rely on just the guy next door saying, you don't get this, you can do it this way. Find an expert and find out. If you have a family or a friend member that's a veteran, encourage them to seek that expert advice and to file and not to be passive. You got to dog it yourself, veteran. You got to own it.
Well said, bro. Next, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and then Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do about 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to patriotfoods.com, use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit CVAfrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAfrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I'm, of course, joined by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, brother. We're doing it today.
We are, Danny. And, of course, I'm happy to be here. It's always a pleasure.
And you're even happier because Army lost and Air Force won.
Well, I'm not happy that Army lost unless it's against the Air Force, but I am happy that Air Force won.
That's the first time this season we could say that.
That's right. I tell you what. Oh, my goodness. Army has had a tremendous season.
But they played Notre Dame in Yankee Stadium, and Notre Dame was the host, and Army lost 49-14.
You know, Danny, as we say, sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you. Well, the bigger bear got the smaller bear on this one, as it was the number 18 ranked Army Black Knights, 9-1 after this game and 7-0 still in the conference, falling to the mighty Notre Dame Fighting Irish, as you mentioned, 49-14 at historic Yankee Stadium. The Fighting Irish are ranked number 6 in the country. They had an early season loss to Northern Illinois, which is a bit troubling as they pursue the spot in the college football playoff. But they made a strong case against Army in this game. Notre Dame totaled 462 yards of total offense, 130 on the ground from sophomore running back Jeremiah Love, who scored 2 touchdowns on the ground, 1 through the air. Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard was very efficient, passing for 148 yards, completing 10 out of 13 passes and 2 touchdowns. Defensively, the Black Knights were held to only 233 yards, only 207 rushing yards, only 26 passing yards, and it just was not Army's day. You know, we look at the numbers, we always say time of possession is big. Well, they held the ball for 39 minutes and 50 seconds to Notre Dame's 20 minutes and 10 seconds. But when Notre Dame had it, man, were they explosive, Denny. Jeremiah Love ran for big plays. Riley Leonard passed for some big plays. And really, Army just did not have an answer for Notre Dame's offense. From Army's offensive perspective, they just could not move the ball as they usually do. They began moving the ball on their third drive and marched on a 12-play, 75-yard drive. Vintage Army, and they cut the deficit to 14-7. Bryson Daly, their quarterback, had a pair of 8-yard runs on the day, but really they couldn't muster much more until the fourth quarter when they were able to move it into the end zone in the last minute of the game, score another touchdown to bring the score to 49-14. But it really was a matter that of Notre Dame's strength. They had a clear size advantage, speed advantage. You know, we always like to say in these games, the coaches say, now, how many of you all were recruited by this team? But you're going to go up there and you're going to beat them. A classic David and Goliath story. Well, that doesn't really happen too often to work out in the favor of David. And it was so the case. for Army. But I will say Army's Elo Madozi really showed out well on from the defensive perspective. Blocked the field goal, recovered by Casey Larkin, and he had another tackle for loss. So, you know, they played hard. It just wasn't their day. They just ran up against a better team, flat out. And Notre Dame really should get the credit for this game because they really look like a dominant team and one that is poised to make some noise in the college football playoff.
Yes, sir, I agree. Notre Dame really did play well. And Army, they didn't do badly, but they just couldn't make it click.
Nope, they just ran into a better team. Sometimes that happens. And you know, it's a matter of sometimes, and this is why I think sports are such a tremendous teacher of leadership that is a pillar of our service academies, because sometimes you lose, and what are you going to do then? What happens when you face adversity? And that's what Army has to do in their next game to respond, and that's what we're going to be looking for.
Yes, sir, it is. Well, Navy had a bye, and Air Force played Nevada and won 22-19.
They sure did, Denny. And it was a slugfest. Boy, it was a slugfest. Tough game, as Air Force did travel to Reno, Nevada, and willed their way to a 22-19 victory over Nevada. Air Force moved to 4-7 on the season, 2-4 in the Mountain West Conference. Now, Nevada is not having a great season. They're 0-6 in the Mountain West themselves. Falcons pulled out a victory 22-19 and have now won three games in a row after a seven-game losing streak. Air Force was able to muster 318 yards of total offense and 318 yards total rushing yards. In other words, they did not gain 1 yard through the air, but still were able to find a victory. You know, defensively, they really held Nevada out of the end zone as a scoring defense because Nevada moved the ball. They actually have more offense than Air Force, 362 yards to Air Force's 318, 268 of that through the air. It was a cold night, though, Denny. And so the air attack really could not get uncorked. And again, you know, Air Force is finding some footing. And now, you know, let's keep things in perspective. The teams they're playing, again, I said Nevada's 0-6 in the Mountain West Conference. So they're, you know, Air Force is not beating up here on some good teams, but still to win even against bad teams when you're struggling is important. And they've been playing hard. They've been finding some, you know, the running game is starting to get going. They've settled on a quarterback at Quentin Hayes. Dylan Carson and Owen Allen both ran for over 100 yards. So Air Force really played a pretty good game. When you don't complete a pass, is that good? No, you want to complete passes, right? This is the 21st century. We kind of like to do that. However, they were able to do what it took to win, and the defense came through when they needed to. So hats off again to a three-game winning streak for the Falcons.
And like you said, this is a good lesson in life. The fact that things haven't been going well doesn't mean you give up. And they didn't, and it showed. Good job, Air Force. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football. Well, this weekend, Army plays UTSA, Navy plays TCU, and Air Force versus San Diego State. So we got just a couple of minutes. What do those look like?
Yeah, Denny, let's talk about these games a little bit because, as we mentioned, Army is going to need to rebound against UTSA. UTSA has been a tough team since they have joined the American Athletic Conference. UTSA is 6-5 and 4-3. They are playing this game at Mikey Stadium, 12 noon on CBS Sports Network. Army is favored by 8. I think Army will rebound. We're going to see them really respond well to the loss against Notre Dame. Again, it wasn't that they played badly, but when you play another very good team, it raises your level of play. I expect Army to show UTSA kind of that next level that they are striving to reach because there's still a lot to play for Army. They've got the Commander-in-Chief's trophy ahead of them. They have the AAC championship game ahead of them. So there's still a lot to play for, and they're going to show it this weekend.
Okay, how about Navy?
Navy looks to reclaim its winning ways. When we last saw them, they lost to Tulane, but they're going to come back against the East Carolina Pirates. Both teams are 5-2 in the conference. Navy is favored by 1, although ECU is on a 4-game winning streak. It's going to be a tough game for them, but this is the kind of game that they really need to help set them up for the Army-Navy game.
Yes, sir. And Air Force, how are they going to do against San Diego State?
Air Force has San Diego State, and I tell you what, Denny, Can the Falcons continue their three-game winning streak, finish out the season strong, is really what they're looking to do. You know, again, they're 4-7 on the season. San Diego State is doing a little bit better. They're 2-4 in the conference, but 3-8 overall. So nothing tremendous either. So expect a close game, but I expect the Falcons to continue to prevail.
Yes, sir. I agree. Thank you, Quentin. We'll be back at it again next week, brother.
All right, Danny. Looking forward to it, my friend. Hey, happy holidays to you and everyone out there.
Amen. Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Front Lines of Freedom promo code. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's time for the movie of the month. So joining us, of course, is our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. How are things going out there in New Jersey?
Hey, Danny. Thank you so much for having me. You know, this is the highlight of my month each month. So, yeah, everything's going great. We're trying to put together the schedule for the upcoming festival, March 27th through the 30th. Anybody, we'd love to see you attend. You can find out more information at gsff.org.
Okay. You have any snow out there yet?
No. We're by the ocean, so it stays a little warm.
Well, we haven't had any snow either here in Michigan, so therefore, maybe this is going to be a Tampa winter for us. I don't know.
Well, there you go.
I ain't betting on that.
Hope springs eternal, I'm sure.
But Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Our movie of the month is Salt. And it certainly is a Thanksgiving movie. It's one of the cutest ones I've ever seen. I never knew what was going to happen next, but it was just cute. I just enjoyed it. It was.
Well, I'm so glad in this world that we live in to have something that's just enjoyable, I think, is timely.
Yes. And the little boy who's the cook, he must be, what, 6, 7, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So he was a cook or one of the cooks for the Thanksgiving dinner. And he was very happy that he could do it and very proud that he was doing. And he cooked what apparently was a pumpkin pie. It looked like that.
Yeah, pumpkin pie.
And he obviously had been briefed by his mother and maybe even trained on what to do. But he had been left alone so that he could do this by himself. And he was happy as a clam. And he was mixing up the crust.
Yeah,
and he mixed that up really well and laid it out and put it in the pan and then stirred up all the contents of the what was going to go in it. But here's the movie title anyway. He took at least a full cup of salt and put it in the, and I.
Yeah, he mistook it for the sugar, obviously, so.
Well, for something, yes. And, but he was happy. He put it in, he stirred it up. He properly put it in the oven, was there when it came out, wearing a chef's hat. And it's a very nice family. It looks like a couple of relative families there for dinner, have a delightful meal, having fun, the kind of thing that it's normal, a normal Thanksgiving. And then it's time for dessert. And he's beaming. He's one happy kid. And they bring it in. And I guess it was his dad looked at it with shock. I don't know why. I don't think the salt would appear anywhere. Maybe he just didn't realize his son was going to be the cook. Whatever it was, he was shocked. But he reached over and cut a piece, tasted it. Everybody was waiting to see. Smiled, ate a second piece, and they passed it around. And there was another guy there, I guess maybe an uncle.
Yeah.
Who was the last one. And he was in, seemed to be in total disbelief that anybody would want to eat anything the kid had picked. But he took the last piece, and everybody had a piece, and everybody was eating it and enjoying it.
Well, I don't know if they were enjoying it, but they let the boy think they were enjoying it, which was the loving part of the whole story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were honoring, recognizing, supporting him. And I can imagine what it must have tasted like. But
I've actually been in that situation where someone thought the salt was the sugar and it was pretty bad.
Well, but, you know, if that's the worst it gets, we really have things to be thankful for, don't we?
I do. And I just thought the family was so wonderful, you know?
Yes. And I suppose if he bakes it again next time, somebody will double check.
I would think so.
But he was proud as a puppy.
Yeah, and, it's a cute film.
It is. And frankly, he should have been proud of what he did. He just should have been better supervised, I guess.
Right.
Or maybe the supervised get.
But live and learn, isn't that the story of all our lives? How many things haven't turned out right and then you've learned a lesson? It's really a beautiful thing, really.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as you point out, life is full of making mistakes and learning from them. And frankly, if the worst thing you ever do is put salt in a pie one time.
Yeah, I think you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I wish that was my biggest problem that I'd ever done.
Yeah.
But it was just a good story from every kind of perspective. The family supporting the kid. But just the looks on, particularly the two men's face, made me suggest that maybe they saw the salt out there.
I don't know.
But whatever it was, they played the game. They ate the pie. And the salt, aside from being salty, it probably was tasty.
Yeah, you don't really know how salty it was. You
That's
know
what right. I
mean? There's still pumpkin in there and, you know.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, pumpkin pie is good.
Amen.
Though, again, I have never tasted a salty one. But it seems to me at one point while somebody was cutting or chewing it, there was a real crunchy sound. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything because the crust is supposed to be crunchy, right?
Right. I mean,
it's supposed to be.
If it's cooked correctly, it shouldn't be soggy. It should be toasty.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it worked. I mean, you know, I don't remember seeing the boy eating a piece.
No, I noticed that as well.
And
which was just as well. He didn't know he messed up, you know what I mean?
Yes. But what a great idea for a mom to teach the boy how to make a pie and letting him do it and everybody.
Yeah, I had a daughter like that. She wanted to do everything by herself. That's my Mimi.
Uh-huh.
And she did. And again, she had some missteps along the way, but you know, it that shows, you know, self-sufficiency and all of those wonderful things that you know, help us through to be adults. I just thought it was a perfect film for this time of year.
Well said. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, you mentioned it as we came in, but the Garden State Film Festival is in March. It's coming up.
It is.
It has been virtual. Now it's physical. You can show up and do this stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, we were only virtual the 1 year, 2020, and then we were hybrid in 2021. So we've been live for the last couple years. And, you know, we're back to pre-pandemic numbers, and we'll show about 200 films from 20 countries again this year in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I hope some of you will make it. We've been gaining support from people who used to go to Sundance. They like us a little better. So that's a kudos to us for that.
Well, you sure do know how to pick the movies.
Yep.
This is so much fun. Once again, what's the website for checking out on?
GSFF.org.
GardenStateFilmFestival.org. Okay. Thank you, Diane, for another great film. And for being a great member of the Front Lines of Freedom team. I'm sure glad we're friends.
Me too, Danny. Thank you, and happy holidays to everyone.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up is time for our weekly mailbag. That is military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups now. Maybe 64 this time. I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net, never forget, never forgotten.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. That's where I buy it. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your comments to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, Air Force veteran Sammy wants to know if you think we're about to have a nuclear war. It's scary.
Well, Sammy, we are playing with fire, but I think President Trump's effort will keep us from such a war.
And Air Force mom Susan asked why so many of President Trump's nominees for office in his administration are being attacked. They're good people.
Susan, if you noticed during the recent campaign, name-calling is one of the things Democrats are really good at, not to say Republicans don't. You may have noticed that they all called Trump Hitler. Well, now they've forgotten they said that. It's one of the crazy things that goes on. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, legend has it that on the night of 2 December 1777, Philadelphia housewife and nurse Lydia Durag single-handedly saved the lives of General George Washington and his Continental Army when she overheard the British planning a surprise attack on Washington's army for the following day. During the occupation of Philadelphia, British General Howe stationed his headquarters across the street from the Durag home, and when Howe's headquarters proved too small to hold meetings, he commandeered a large upstairs room in Durag's house. Although uncorroborated, family legend holds that Mrs. Durag would eavesdrop and take notes on the British meetings from an adjoining room and would conceal the notes by sewing them into her coat before passing them on to American troops stationed outside the city. On the evening of December 2, 1777, Durag overheard the British planning a surprise attack on Washington's army at White Marsh, Pennsylvania, for December 4 and 5. Using a cover story that she needed to buy flour from a nearby mill just outside the British line, Durag passed the information to American Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Craig the following day. The British marched towards White Marsh on the evening of December 4, 1777, and were surprised to find General Washington and the Continental Army waiting for them. After 3 inconclusive days of skirmishing, General Howe chose to return his troops to Philadelphia. It is said that members of the Central Intelligence Agency still tell the story of Lydia Durag, one of the first spies in American history.
That's interesting. And on the 6th of December, 1865, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution officially ended the institution of slavery, and it was ratified. Quote, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime where the party will have been fully convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction, end quote. With these words, the single greatest change wrought by the Civil War was officially noted in our Constitution.
Colonel, when I was growing up, my parents apparently didn't get the memo, involuntary servitude.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'll send them a copy. Give me their mailing address.
All righty. And on 4 December 1917, well-known psychiatrist W.H. Rivers presented his report, The Repression of War Experience, based on his work at Britain's Craig Lockhart War Hospital for Neurasthenic Officers, to the Royal School of Medicine. Craig Lockhart, near Edinburgh, was one of the most famous hospitals used to treat soldiers who suffered from psychological traumas as a result of their service on the battlefield. By the end of World War I, the Army had been forced to deal with 80,000 cases of shell shock, a term first used in 1917 by a medical officer named Charles Myers to describe the physical damage done to soldiers on the front lines during exposure to heavy bombardment. It soon became clear, however, that the various symptoms of shell shock, including debilitating anxiety, persistent nightmares, and physical afflictions, ranging from diarrhea to loss of sight, were appearing even in soldiers who had never been directly under bombardment, and the meaning of the term was broadened to include not only the physical, but the psychological effects produced by the experience of combat. The most important duty of doctors like Rivers, as prescribed by the British Army, was to get the men fit and ready to return to battle. Nevertheless, only 1/5 of the men treated in hospitals for shell shock ever resumed military duty.
You know, that's true. I never experienced that, but I know people who did. On 2 December 1942, Enrico Fermi, the Italian-born Nobel Prize-winning physicist, directed and controlled the first nuclear chain reaction in his laboratory beneath the bleachers of Stagg Field at the University of Chicago, ushering in the nuclear age. Upon successful completion of the experiment, a coded message was transmitted to President Roosevelt, quote, the Italian navigator has landed in the new world, end quote.
And on 4 December 1992, President George H. Bush ordered 28,000 U.S. troops to Somalia, a war-torn East African nation where rival warlords were preventing the distribution of humanitarian aid to thousands of starving Somalis. In a military mission he described as God's work, Bush said that America must act to save more than 1 million Somali lives, but reassured Americans that this operation is not open-ended and that we will not stay one day longer than is absolutely necessary. Unfortunately, America's humanitarian troops became embroiled in Somalia's political conflict, and the controversial mission stretched on for 15 months before being abruptly called off by President Bill Clinton in 1993.
And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to it being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there'll almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system, just the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought it would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership or to learn more, go to U.S. Law Shield and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing. And now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a man and a woman from the Houston area recently met and decided to go on a weekend getaway to the Central Texas wine country. But something happened on the way, and the romance turned sour. The woman used her Glock 43 pistol to shoot the man multiple times. A distraught Amy Lejeune called 911 and reported that her date had drugged and kidnapped her. Police and emergency medical services responded, and the man was pronounced dead at the scene. Amy Lejeune was questioned by Gillespie County Sheriff's officers and released without charges.
Thanks, Colonel. When I first read about this story, it seemed cut and dry to me. Here was a woman who met a stranger, they made a connection, and she moved too quickly in their relationship and trusted a man who turned out to be a predator. But something about it just didn't feel right to me, so I decided to dig a little deeper, and the more articles I read, the more I questioned the woman's story. Here's a straight scoop. It's now been 7 months since the woman shot and killed Lance Reed, her alleged kidnapper, and just last month, she was arrested and charged with murder. Apparently, the Gillespie County Sheriff's Office didn't totally buy her story, so they assigned two officers to investigate the case. So, my initial response was correct. I just had it backwards. The man, 49-year-old Lance Reed, met a woman and moved too quickly. He trusted the woman, who eventually killed him. So what can we learn most from this? According to crime stats, over 80% of people murdered are killed by someone they know, either a friend, a family member, coworker, or a neighbor. Very seldom is it a random attack. What that means is that you already know the person who's going to kill you. One thing I've learned over the years is this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. And in this case, trusting a beautiful woman without the benefit of getting to know her better turned out to be this man's demise. Even 20 years ago, men and women met in person, dated, fell in love, and married. But today, with the aid of computers and a relaxed morality, relationships move at the speed of light. I can't stress enough the importance of getting to know people slowly over time. You don't really know someone until you've seen them react to the stress and trials of everyday life. We used to call that a courtship. It was a vetting process where you and your friends and family could get to know one another before jumping into a physical and romantic commitment. If Lance Reed had taken the time to court the woman instead of immediately jumping to the overnight getaway, I think he might still be alive today. Dating these days can be a life or death proposition, so be careful, go slowly, and always remember that all that glitters is not gold, and skim milk sometimes masquerades as cream. God bless and stay safe out there, folks. It's getting tougher by the day.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is Salt. It's a Thanksgiving movie. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. It's fun. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Forrest Hamilton from Universal Coin and Bullion will offer some insights. Then Coast Guard vet Mark Northrup will share insights into the VA support. And we'll review this weekend's Service Academy football games. And Navy vet Teresa Robinson will introduce another female veteran. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.